Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I'm joined, by, as always, by Mike Taglier, and you can find us on Twitter at KyleYNFL and at Mike Taglier NFL Tags. How's it going, man?
It's a weird day already. I mean, I woke up this morning, I got onto Twitter, and I started checking my mentions, and then I looked in the trending department, and it said the purge was trending. So apparently, we're headed for a purge in the United States. I don't know what's happening.
Did you see why the purge was trending, by the way? Did you watch that? That was pretty scary.
I don't even think I want to know, to be fair.
I try not to pay
attention to all that stuff right now, because I just want to remain positive as we head into the NFL season. But yeah, it's been a weird day to start, Yates.
2020, it wouldn't even surprise me at this point. But hey, we are joined by Joe Pisapia today. You know him, you love him. He's over at Sports Grid and on TV all day, every day, essentially. He can be found on Twitter at Joe Pisapia 17. Joe, welcome in, men.
Yes, I don't know. They know me. Whether or not they love me, let's be honest.
Remains to be seen.
It's kind of a love-hate here even. I mean, come on, let's be frank. I'm excited as always to chat with you boys. We got a fun show here today, and I like the way we're doing it too. I think it's clever. I think it's fun, and I'm ready to get into it, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for this too. Before we get into it, though, I want to quickly tell you about the Daily Juice podcast. It's a betting-focused podcast that we are releasing every day, all year round. Betting Pros host Matt Perrault spends 15 minutes sharing his insight and picks on each day's most notable bets across all sports. This includes NASCAR, UFC, MLB, NBA, NHL, and of course, the NFL. The Daily Juice podcast is now available on all major podcast platforms, and you can also listen to it at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. All right, guys, today we are talking breakouts. We're going to be looking at these players that could emerge and become either top tier or consistent producers for your fantasy football lineup week in and week out. So that haven't already done it, right? So some examples from last year would have been Devontae Parker, who finally became who everyone expected him to be for years, or even someone like a Terry McLaurin, who showed up in a big way as a rookie. Normally, the way that we would do this is we'd go around the table, right? And we would just talk about as many players as we can get to. But I want to switch things up a little bit today, okay? Let's do a draft. We're going to build our fantasy football all breakout team rosters through a snake draft format. We'll do one quarterback, two running back, three wide receiver, and a tight end. Sound good?
I mean, yeah, I'm really curious as to how this is going to work out with the draft order, because something tells me that we all want the same player at the top of this draft.
Okay, so as far as the draft order, Tags is going to be last because he insulted us yesterday in our group chat, Joe.
He did. He did insult us. He caused us to do numerous GIFs in response to his insults. So Kyle, I think that's only fair. But look, Tags, look at it this way. You get to double up. You get to pick two guys at once.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much, guys. It's like having the number three pick in a rookie draft. Awesome.
But you also have the Tags, number four pick.
Well, Tags, hey, you said that you, both Joe and I were high maintenance. So there are consequences for your actions, right? This is one of them. So Joe, you have the first pick, right? You're our guest. You get to be the 101. And again, we'll do this as a snake draft. So I'll be second, Tags third, fourth, and then I'll be fifth, Joe sixth, seventh. Okay, it goes like that. Let's kick it off here. Joe, all breakout team, who do you got up at the 101?
You know, Kyle, I've always said very nice things about you, and now I know why. I know why, because I get the first pick here. And by the way, Tags, have you realized what a good job Kyle's done here on the show? I just want you to realize that. Just bask in his glory for a moment.
I hate the both of you.
Let me begin by taking my first pick here. And under the circumstances of what you put out here, although in some ways it's a cop-out because it's the easy one, I'm still going to do it anyway just to annoy Mike Tagliere, which I'm going to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire first because it's very rare that you do get a running back who ends up returning first-round value in his rookie season. It doesn't happen that often. It's happened more recently with transcendent guys like Saquon Barkley, like Ezekiel Elliott, and I put those guys in a different level in terms of Clyde Edwards-Helaire necessarily. Now, here's the thing. I was a big fan of him in LSU. But he was also in a fantastic offense and everything's working well for him. He's also in a fantastic offense now in the NFL. You go back and look at the rookie track record of going back to Westbrook and McCoy and every running back that Andy Reid's had. He made Jamal Charles great. I mean, all these guys great, right? So if he's able to do that with young running backs, why not Clyde Edwards-Helaire? You look at the depth chart with Williams out now, it just all makes sense. Now, would I take him in my top four overall picks? No, I would not. Is it possible he ends up there? Yes. Am I asking myself questions and answering them? Probably. However, I'm going to tell you this. I think that if you do take him in the late first round or even mid first round, if you can get him there, and most people play in these casual leagues, right? Edwards-Helaire is going to return value, I think, there regardless, even if he doesn't just come out of the gate guns a-blazing. But I just think this offense is too good. His role potentially, we saw Kareem Hunt even a few years ago have an incredible first year where really people didn't see quite how good he would be coming, and we should have because of the track record of Andy Reid. So all that track record stands up to me. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still a really good mid to low first round pick this year, despite the lack of NFL track record, because just because a guy hasn't taken a snap in the NFL is not a good reason not to value him.
Tags, I want to get your opinion on this. So let's say you're in your, you know, drafts are happening, right? They're about to kick off here. So let's just say you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, right? You're listening to this, you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and you really, 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 really want Clyde Edwards-Helaire on your fantasy football team, right? So what's the threshold? What's the highest that you're willing to go in your draft to take him? Like, I hope that you're not taking him over Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, right? Zeke would probably be in that consideration, but then are you willing to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon? Like, where's that threshold for you?
I'm not going to take him over Kamara, but I would consider him over Dalvin Cook just because of the contract situation and what we're hearing from Adam Schefter, a guy that's continually plugged into the league. He obviously knows things that we don't sometimes. So knowing that, he's saying that there's some concern around Dalvin Cook and basically the contract situation he's dealing with. But yeah, I mean, my brother, it's weird, right before we started recording this podcast, my brother called me and he was asking me about Derrick Henry versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire and which one I would lean towards in a PPR format. And I ultimately said it depends on the type of drafter you are. I've always said that you can't win your fantasy league in the first round, but you can lose it. Edwards-Helaire is the guy that wants some more risk. If you want a chance at RB1 upside, like legitimately the RB1, I think there's a chance that he can finish there under Andy Reid, who, by the way, he's been coaching now for 20 years. Just five times throughout those 20 years has he not had a top 18 fantasy running back. So the floor is there with Clyde Edwards-Helaire as well. But Derrick Henry does not have... he doesn't have top two upside. He's not going to finish as a top two running back because he doesn't get enough work in the passing game. We already saw him score tons of touchdowns last year. So we may have seen Derrick Henry's ceiling last year in terms of where he can finish, but he's a very safe player in the first round. So if you're looking for the potential RB1 and you're willing to take a little bit of risk to make that happen, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at number five or number six overall, I'm not going to sit here and say that you're wrong for doing so.
All right, I'm going to move on here to the 102. I am looking at my options. You know what? I'm going to go a little bit off the wall here, guys, because I'm looking at the quarterback position and I can't approach this like a normal fantasy draft because there aren't many guys that I can identify at the quarterback position that I think are going to truly break out. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow here at the 102. And looking at Joe Burrow, obviously a ridiculous season at LSU last year, one of the best, if not the best, quarterback performance that we've ever seen in college football history. And one of the most talented prospects coming out since maybe Andrew Luck. So looking at Joe Burrow, and this is the thing too with rookie quarterbacks, like we can talk about Tua Tagovailoa now in Miami, right? And I love Tua. I love Tua the prospect, but from a fantasy perspective, I'm not relying on him in any way for his rookie season. He might not even play, but it's a lot to do with his weapons, right? He's got Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, yeah, but then Mike Gesicki, and then Jordan Howard and Matt Breida. Like, it's not a great surrounding cast. You look at Joe Burrow's surrounding cast in Cincinnati of A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, and then John Ross. You have T. Higgins, too, factoring in. Like, this is a loaded receiving core. Giovanni Bernard out of the backfield, too, as a receiver. So I think they're going to help Joe Burrow ease into the NFL, and we could be talking about Joe Burrow as a top 12 quarterback when the season's all said and done.
I think it's possible. I do worry a little bit about the fact that, you know, the limited offseason, now A.J. Green missing a little bit of time with his hamstring thing, though he is running on the side again, so he's clearly about to get ready back on the field. John Ross did return to the team, practicing with the first team. So there are things coming. He gets off to a little rough start. They're playing the Chargers in week one.
Right.
So there are some concerns around Burrow, but I'm with you in the fact that I do think he's, I've said it before and I'll say it again, is that I believe he's the most pro-ready quarterback I've seen since Andrew Luck. And knowing that he's coming into this offense, where Zach Taylor is a sharp guy, and I feel like he was dealt a very bad hand last year, and this is the year where you're actually going to see what he's able to do with this offense. So I do like Burrow. He was actually one of my two choices that I had at quarterback, so I'm a little sad to see one of them come off the board.
I'm glad we're disappointing you early. I think this is the way we want to do things here. Just to point out, too, here's Andrew Luck's rookie season, 4,374 yards, 23 touchdowns. Now, he did throw 18 picks, but a lot of people forget early on his career, you know, this guy was running a bit. So the rushing yards, actually, let's see, he had 5 rushing touchdowns and 255 rushing yards. I think people kind of forget that early in his career, he had 9 touchdowns in his first 2 years rushing. So if Joe Burrow can come close to that, that's a pretty good season right there out of the gate.
Oh, my word. Yeah. And it's not like Joe Burrow is a statue back there, right? Joe Burrow can move.
No, not at all. He's quite mobile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he could absolutely rack up those easy rushing yards. Okay, Tags, you finally get to make a pick here. Who are you going with at the 103?
Well, I'm happy to say that my number two pick, I thought that Jonathan Taylor was going to come off the board. I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor here, Indianapolis Colts running back. If you guys don't know who Jonathan Taylor is, he's the discounted Nick Chubb this year. So if you don't get Chubb at the top of the second round because you wanted him there, take Jonathan Taylor in the fourth round and be just as happy. You know, these guys have very similar situations where I don't think that we see Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack combine for more than maybe 12, 14 touches a week. And this is a Colts team that's probably going to have their running backs touch the ball 30, 32 times per game. So we're talking about 15 to 18 touches for Jonathan Taylor out of the gate. I think the Marlon Mack thing, if you watch the interview with Marlon Mack where they asked him about Jonathan Taylor, he's a fan of Jonathan Taylor and says this kid's going to dominate the league. And it sounded like a guy that knew he was already losing that starting job, and rightfully so. Again, if you're happy with Marlon Mack and you're happy with Nyheim Hines, you don't feel the need to draft someone like Jonathan Taylor in the second round, a guy that had 926 carries in just 3 years at Wisconsin. Running backs, their rookie contract is what's most valuable over the entire span of their career. Like that rookie contract, that's why you're seeing a lot of running backs struggle to get those second contracts, and they're holding out because they don't want to go through that process. So Jonathan Taylor needs to be used and abused. For those of you who think that, you know, Nyheim Hines is the next Austin Eckler or something like that, he played 21 snaps per game last year. That was without Jonathan Taylor on the roster, with Marlon Mack dealing with injuries. It's all bad. So Jonathan Taylor is, I think there's a realistic possibility he finishes a top 12 running back this year and upside for a little bit more. Again, he's sort of like a Nick Chubb in that he's not going to be used a whole lot in the passing game, but even if he catches 25, 30 balls, that's going to be fine for a guy that should average, I'd say, close to 5 yards per carry behind this Colts offensive line.
Joe, if you're going to deploy let's say you take Michael Thomas in the first round, another top tier wide receiver falls to you in the second round, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say that you load up on wide receiver early and maybe you take a Kelce or Kittle and they're there in the third round. In the fourth round is kind of where Jonathan Taylor is going. And granted, his ADP seems to be rising, so this may all be a moot point. But let's just say Jonathan Taylor is your RB1. Would you be comfortable with that?
Well, here's the thing. You have to understand that this is kind of Black Book 101 here, going to the idea of, well, where's the roster strength? Well, the roster strength is already built somewhere with wide receiver. So if you're winning there and you're outproducing people at wide receiver one and wide receiver two, then you can stomach having somebody with upside as your RB1. That being said, I think it's imperative that you also get guys in your lineup that are not the sexiest running backs too, and have some depth there. Guys like James White, who in a PPR, I think is going to bounce back and have a very good season. That kind of running back that isn't the most exciting one, the Mark Ingrams of the world, Harrell, the guys like that, where you're just going to build through depth and build through maybe some veterans as well who kind of get undervalued in drafts because people just take their productivity for granted. I think it's just important to make sure you back that up because you want the upside of Taylor. And if you have to pay early to get it, pay for it, get it, especially if you already have some roster strength at the wide receiver spot. Then make sure you back it up with some guys that you rely on that are proven, that are in the systems, they know the systems, and you don't have as many question marks about.
That makes sense. All right, Tags, back to you. Start of the second round.
Yeah, start of the second round. I'm going to go with a position that I know there's only really one player that I want to take in this spot at tight end, and I'm going to take Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst, you know, a lot of people have attached this to, he was a bust, you know. The Ravens took him in the first round, and did it feel like it was a bit of a reach for them in that draft? Maybe a little bit, because Hurst was a little bit older. He should have been going to a team that was built to win then, which made sense, but then they drafted Mark Andrews in the third round. And don't get it twisted, you know, just because Mark Andrews is one of the best tight ends in the NFL, it doesn't mean Hayden Hurst sucks. It just means that he dealt with injuries his first year, didn't get on the field so much. In his second year, he actually played pretty well behind Mark Andrews, but again, the Falcons saw an opportunity to pounds. They traded away a second round pick for him to replace Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper last year was on pace for 119 targets over a 16 game season. 119. Even if you want to say Hayden Hurst comes in, doesn't get that target share right away, that's fine. I get you. I fully understand it. We're talking about this team leading the NFL in passing attempts. I think it's consensus across the board. Everybody thinks the Falcons are going to lead the league in pass attempts. Even if we take away 29 targets, bring that down to 90 targets. That's quite a bit. 29 that's a lot. Bring that down to 90. Over the last 10 years, 93% of tight ends who have seen 93 or more targets or 90 or more targets have finished as a tight end one. Hayden Hurst is going to finish as a tight end one. He has top five upside in this offense. He's a fantastic player that needs a receiver over the middle of the field because, again, when they traded away Mohamed Sanu, it created a void. And Russell Gage, he played fine, but he's not the answer. And they knew that. And that's why they went out and traded for Hayden Hurst. A second round pick for Hayden Hurst. So I am all aboard the Hayden Hurst train as a breakout player in 2020.
Joe, he was on my list. Where do you have him ranked, Hayden Hurst, for this season?
No, look, in terms of relative position value, it hurts him because he doesn't have a lot of track record. But I am weighing a lot of the projections that Mike is weighing too, which is understanding that this offense could absolutely yield him to have an Austin Hooper-esque sort of season. He has the talent to do that. I think it just also speaks to how good Mark Andrews is that he was kind of suppressed a little bit in Baltimore because Andrews was that good. It wasn't that Hurst was bad because Hurst would have moments where he'd catch the ball or have a great catch or a great moment. You go, wow, that guy's pretty good. Why doesn't he get more opportunity? And then you'd see Mark Andrews and you'd say, okay, that's why. I think you have to understand that that just happens sometimes. It happens in baseball too, where good players are just blocked by somebody who happens to be better talent-wise or fits better or got there ahead of them. So I'm with Mike. When you're just looking at the volume and the opportunity, all that points to Hayden Hurst being a low-end tight end one in terms of draft capital. I think you can get him very easily there. And I like taking Hurst as opposed to going for that middle of tight end sometimes where there's a little less upside. I think he's right there in that like 7-8 conversation. And then after that, it's like, hey, I mean, why not take a guy like Hurst? Because you know, in terms of at least you're going to have chances for fantasy points. And that's what's important. And you can look at a guy like Waller, who's got a ton of opportunities, but doesn't cash in on a lot of them, especially in the red zone. That's kind of troubling, too. And is that going to get better year over year? I think that's a legitimate question to ask. So I'm with Mike on Hurst as well. He was on my list also.
Before we move on with the show, I wanted to tell you about one of the sponsors of today's show, Omaha Steaks. I recently received a variety pack of meat from Omaha Steaks, and let me tell you guys, the quality was amazing. The flat iron steaks I threw on the grill were extremely tender and flavorful. Their burgers were also very thick and juicy. I love a good burger. Everything came frozen in a cooler with dry ice, and each piece of meat was carefully wrapped in vacuum-sealed plastic. Right now, Omaha Steaks is offering a steakhouse grilling package with a limited-time offer for just our listeners. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code FANTASYPROS into the search bar. And this week, Omaha Steaks will add 4 burgers and 4 gourmet jumbo franks free with your order. It's called the Grand Summer Grill Out Package, and it lets you stay at home and eat like you're at the best steakhouse in town. We're talking Omaha Steaks bacon-wrapped filet mignon, plus pork chops, chicken, and more delivered to your door. Smoky sweet bacon, fork tender, filet mignon, all for much less than going out to a restaurant. Visit omahasteaks.com and type Fantasy Pros in the search bar to get this today. Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. It's the best steak of your life, guaranteed. And don't forget, when you order the Grand Summer Grill Out Package this week, You'll also get 4 Jumbo Franks and 4 Omaha Steaks burgers free to complete your steakhouse experience. Visit omahasteaks.com and type Fantasy Pros in the search bar to shop summer grill packs today. All right, guys, I am up here. I'm going to take Calvin Ridley. And if you've been listening to...
Oh, that's a cop out.
What?
He was already a consistent producer.
Not emerge as a top tier.
He's not a wide receiver one. I'll say that. He's not a wide receiver one yet.
We couldn't say he already broke out, though. I would have put Ridley on my
list. He was like a middling wide receiver three. He merged into like wide receiver two level last year, but he hasn't been a top tier guy. I'm saying that he could emerge and break out to become a top tier guy.
Hold on, Mike. Here we go. Ready? You tell me if this is an elite top tier stat line. 63 catches, 866 yards.
In like 13 games?
In 13 games, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's almost like an argument like about DJ Chark, right? DJ Chark already broke out.
I guess I got to cross him off my list too, Co.
that's what I'm saying. I think Ridley broke out. Right? Like, if you look at, we talked about it in the Boom Bust and Everything in Between show that we did, is that Ridley was already a borderline wide receiver one last year. People don't realize it because, again, he did have that shortened stat line, so it didn't quite add up. Because he would have finished as a top 20 receiver last year, or to maybe even top 15, had he played all 16 games at that pace. But, I mean, I agree with you, obviously.
Yates. I also want to talk about him here because his ADP is still wide receiver 17, and his ECR is still wide receiver 17. Guys, I'm up at wide receiver 7 this season. So I'm talking about Calvin Ridley in the sense of a breakout. Yes, he's been a consistent producer for your fantasy football lineup, but he hasn't truly broken out into this top tier guy, which is why I want to highlight him here and say that Calvin Ridley is going to be a steal in drafts this year. I absolutely love him.
So Yates, I'm gonna do the same thing you did to me earlier with the hypothetical. Let's say that you're in a draft, okay? And this is realistic because I've had this happen and it really hurts me to make the choice. You get on the board and you're looking at Calvin Ridley there. You're looking at Amari Cooper. You're looking at Mike Evans. Which one of those three? You're gonna take Ridley. Now, DJ, let's throw DJ Moore into that mix as well.
I will still take Ridley because I think Ridley can make up for it with touchdown production. Moore is not going to do it in this offense. Moore can do it on the back of pure volume. I have Moore drastically out, you know, with more targets than Calvin Ridley, but Ridley is going to score more touchdowns.
Yeah, I struggle with that territory, man.
You know what I think? I think that's also the difference between us in this community, like the quote analysis community, right? As opposed to most lay people out there. They still see Julio and they're not even, I don't say not thinking about Calvin Ridley, but not thinking of him in the same way that we are. And right. We've given him a lot of attention on this show. And I know I have on my shows as well. So I think we are, in a way, living in a fictitious universe compared to what's reality out there. And reality is people look at Calvin Ridley as like, oh, yeah, I guess he's a good wide receiver, too. But we're all thinking, hey, this guy already showed you he's a wide receiver one. But they don't look at the 13 games enough. They don't look at the second half enough. They don't know dig into the casual league. So I think under those guidelines, Kyle's kind of right. Like he hasn't broken through to the masses, but in terms of this community, of the analyst community, he absolutely has.
Yeah, and I just want to say that, you know, over the 6 games that Ridley played without Mohamed Sanu, he was on a 131 target pace. That's if he gets 131 targets, he's a wide receiver one.
Yeah, easy.
Love him.
All right, Joe, let's go to you here for, you've got 2 picks back to back.
Well, I'm going to have to cross DJ Shark off my list because I don't want Mike yelling at me.
Yeah, I will. So,
I know you will. I know. All right, let's go for another running back here. Let's go with Cam Akers. Henderson's already hurt. I already feel like this is the guy down at the goal line anyway. And I think if Boy Wonder Sean McVay is going to keep his job, then he's going to have to get back to some fundamentals of running the football and helping Jared Goff out a little bit. Because Jared Goff is not the kind of quarterback, in my opinion, that's going to go out there and just sling it around and make great decisions and be awesome. He really needs a good running game to support it. And look, the O-line did not play well last year either. So there is some risk here with this. And yes, I am going with another rookie here, but I don't see a universe where Cam Akers isn't this guy from day one. And I just think it's going to get better as the season goes on. And it might not be perfect right away, but I think in terms of investment, it makes a lot of sense. Once again, is he the guy who probably looks like the most like a 3 down back? Yes. Is he the guy at the goal line? Yes. That's enough for me for fantasy to think that he could be a really good RB2. And considering where he's getting drafted, I think it's a lot of upside there that you can have at a decent ADP.
Yates, I know you're going to disagree with this one.
I was just going to say, like, I was going to ask Joe, like, where's the threshold of where you back off, right? Like, if he's going RB28 in ADP, like, Joe,
yeah,
are you
basically
saying,
a flex RB right now, which is, I mean, great.
Right. Like, are you saying that you want him so badly that you're willing to take him as, like, your RB2? Would you
no,
be comfortable with that?
I prefer him as a flex. Like, and I'll tell you what, if Kareem Hunt is there as a flex, I'm still taking him. But if someone snipes me for Kareem Hunt, and I'm looking at the flex position and I'm looking at names like Devin Singletary, who I wonder about those same things I just said about Cam Akers. Where are the goal line touches? If I wonder about Raheem Mostert being on five different teams in 3 years and how good is he really? And those kind of questions. And then, you know, look at James White, who I mentioned earlier, right? These are all the names that are in that same area. There's only one guy that I think is basically has the potential to be in an uninhibited backfield, and that's Cam Akers. And with the touchdown equity potentially, and if that offense can bounce back a bit, it wasn't that long ago. It was only 2 years ago that everybody was falling all over themselves to get involved in the Rams offense. It was a down year last year, without a doubt, but I don't want to write it off completely just yet. I'm sure they're going to get back to some basics this year, and I think part of that involves him. So where he's going is like the perfect storm for me. Flex RB, yeah, yeah. Can he finish as an RB2? Absolutely. And I think you're always looking for, just like Calvin Ridley, I'm drafting him as a wide receiver 2 value, but I think he's going to play like a 1. If you can consistently do that in your fantasy team, you're going to be a pretty, you know, force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, Joe, hey, real quick. Would you take Cam Akers over Raheem Mostert?
Yes.
Okay, so here's my take on this.
And I know why people wouldn't, but I would. I have a lot of Mostert issues.
I'm going off
from childhood. It's really from my childhood, Mike. It's,
you know. Nice. From McVay himself, though, I have a quote here. This is direct, like word for word. I think it'll just naturally work itself out. I think if you look at the success San Fran had last year with that running back by committee approach, what I thought Kyle Shanahan and their players did a great job is that, hey, we're going to have an open mind approach and we're going to be committed to trying to have some balance. And then we'll go with the hot hand or whoever really expresses themselves as deserving the carries. That speaks like it's like stay away from this backfield
that
as much as you can. It really does, yeah. Because Raheem Mostert is a guy that established himself late in the year, and we're talking about a potential breakout. And I think Daryl Henderson is better than any of the competition. I think Daryl Henderson's better than Tevin Coleman. I don't think Tevin Coleman's very good. I think he's
don't disagree with that.
I think he's a fine
the problem is
back.
I think Shanahan, the way he wants to do things, he's going to continuously change it up. Whereas McVay, I think, I can interpret that same thing as basically, hey, I don't want to upset the guys that have been here already, so I'm going to make sure that they feel like they're in this, but I don't think they are. And I think that's the point is, you know, I watched Henderson last year. I mean, Henderson's fast, there's no doubt about that, but I think Henderson also misses a lot of the finer points of the running back position when you watch him. And I think that that's something, and the injury already does not help. So that bumps him up to a certain degree. Of course, there's risk with these guys. There's risk with Mostert. I mean, CJ Anderson came out of nowhere like Mostert too, and everybody loved him. And then how did that work out? We have to kind of keep our ears up for these things. And I don't think 5 different teams in 3 years were wrong about Raheem Mostert. And I think that is something that's a red flag for me.
Just the one last stat I want to throw out here, because like, I'm glad I have this one readily available. The reason I wanted to throw that out to you, Joe, is because let's pretend that he is the Mostert of this offense. That's fine. The 49ers offense last year, the running backs averaged 31.3 touches per game. The Rams offense last year, 25.9 touches per game.
So you're even cutting. And they missed the playoffs. And I think that's exactly the point. Like actually, you're making your point. And that's kind of the same point I'm making just in the inverse, which is we missed the playoffs last year. Holy crap. We need to get back to what we used to do well and who can do it the best. And I think Akers is that guy.
Yeah, I'm lower on Akers because I like Joe, you mentioned that Henderson is missing some of the finer nuances of the running back position. Akers is absolutely missing some of the finer nuances at the running back position, in my opinion. Watching his tape at Florida State, there are some holes that he misses. And granted, like I've talked about it, the offensive line at Florida State was atrocious. Like, just terrible.
It was so atrocious.
Yep, it was atrocious. So, but and that led to a lot of poor habits. Now, I don't think those are going to be ironed out right away. But if there is one player that I'm looking at the running back position that I can say I'm terrified of my ranking of him because he absolutely has the potential to prove me wrong, it's Cam Akers. Because hot hand approach, if Akers gets into this offense and he becomes a natural fit as a pass catcher out of the backfield, if all those things get ironed out right away, and this is one of the situations that I wish we had preseason to be able to say, okay, Akers is still missing some of that vision that he needs to succeed at the next level. If he becomes the guy in this backfield, absolutely. He's going to drastically outperform RB28 ADP. So that's the kind of thing that I have him lower, but I can absolutely see the path for him to break out. I just think it's a much more narrow path than some people may admit. So, all right, I'm going to run through the rosters here really quick. Tags has Jonathan Taylor and Hayden Hurst. I have Joe Burrow and Calvin Ridley. Joe, you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Cam Akers. Let's go back to you to start round 3.
All right, I'm going to start with DK Metcalf because although he did have a decent yardage total, 900 last year and 7 touchdowns, he did only catch 58 balls. And I think that if that number improves even slightly, this is another guy who's being drafted on that fringe of wide receiver 2-3, is like right on that bubble, that can absolutely finish as a high end 2, maybe low end 1 bubble. Like, I think he's got that kind of jump potentially. And as this offense continues to, you know, start to progress a little bit more, and maybe Russell Wilson does get a little bit more leeway early on, and maybe they don't run the football quite as much early on in games. But even if they don't, it's really kind of looking at Tyler Lockett as this very safe, nice wide receiver, and that's fine. But the upside all lies with DK Metcalf, and I think that there's still a narrative out there that, well, he's just a physical specimen, he's not very good. And I don't know about that. I mean, after watching last year, I think there's no doubt that the ceiling is higher for Metcalf than Lockett, and I think Russell Wilson is on the precipice of winning his first MVP this year. So I'm going to put DK Metcalf as a big reason why and circle him on my board.
We've talked about that, Tex. We talked about that previously, that, I mean, DK Metcalf going as a mid-range wide receiver too right now, he absolutely has the potential to finish as a top 12 wide receiver.
I'm mad at both of you right now. Just DK Metcalf, he didn't truly break out, so I shouldn't be mad about this one, but Metcalf was a weekly producer. Like, I played him last year continually as a wide receiver 3, and that's why I'm gonna lose this draft, by the way, just because I'm drafting differently.
Well, but you took a tight end second. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, Hayden, it true breakouts at tight ends. I mean, one of you guys is gonna say George
Kittle.
I'm waiting
expert.
For one of you guys to say George Kittle. I'm waiting for it.
I mean, DK Metcalf, wide receiver 32 last year. Like, that's not fantastic. Like, it's good for a rookie, but that's not top tier.
Well, I think that's more like, I think it's a different between, I think you guys are talking more about elite breakout potential, where I'm talking about every week fantasy starter material. And I'm looking for guys, like, I don't, outside of the rookie running back, CEH and Taylor, I don't know if I have anybody being drafted in starter territory, to be fair. You guys will see. Basically, my picks are...
I got a couple guys that are drafted on the fringe on my list of...
And I don't disagree with either of them. Like, I love Ridley, and I love DK Metcalf. I think DK legit has top 10 wide receiver upside. If you're shooting for upside this year, and you like want an elite ceiling, you want to have fun this fantasy season, I take DK Metcalf over Tyler Lockett.
He's going at 24, and he's practically wide receiver. In a 10-team league, which a lot of people are playing out there, let's be honest.
Get out of 10-team leagues, guys, seriously.
I understand. But not everybody has as many friends as you. You're very popular, Mike. Everybody really likes you. Look how many Twitter followers you have. You know, you can put mine and Kyle's together, and we're still like half of tags. You know, if we only wrote more words, Kyle, we just...
Right,
we
yeah, that's the issue.
Oh, geez. All right. So, wait. Yates,
try to recover from that one.
I don't even know where we're going anymore.
I'm up.
Yeah, you're up, Yates.
I'm up. I'm going to go Deontay Johnson. Tags, does that work for you?
Oh, that actually was, he was on my list, so I did.
Yep. Okay, perfect.
3 for 3.
All right, I'm going to go Deontay Johnson here. Looking at Deontay Johnson and his opportunity in this Steelers offense, we've talked about it. He performed really well last year with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges as his quarterbacks, right? And we still saw him be like, you know, flex-worthy starter, you know, this guy that you could roll in on a weekly basis, and he still produced. And I think now this year, with this offense potentially getting back on track, you're going to have James Conner back healthy, you're going to have Ben Roethlisberger back healthy, who the difference between even a 38-year-old Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges is a drastic difference, right? So Deontay Johnson, I think, is going to become this second guy in this offense that Roethlisberger is going to lock onto. You're talking about Juju, and then it's Deontay Johnson, because I don't see Chase Claypool, you know, receiving significant amount of targets. I don't see James Washington seeing a significant amount of targets with Ben Roethlisberger. And then you're looking at Vance McDonald and Eric Ebron. I think those guys are going to be factors in the red zone, but not those guys that are going to soak up targets. So Johnson could be in line for a huge workload this season. I want shares of him everywhere, and I have him right outside wide receiver 2 range, guys, so in half PPR format. So this is a guy that I really like. I think he's going to break out this season.
I am so excited about Deontay Johnson this year, and I'm glad all three of us had him on the list, because I think just the minimum has got to be somewhere around like 75, 80 catches and 1,000-plus yards with 7 touchdowns or something. Like, that's just like the base, where if Roethlisberger's just okay and this offense is just okay, which I don't think it's going to be, it's just all there. And it's not lazy to look at it and say, well, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is, you know, always going to throw for 4,500 yards or closer to 5,000 potentially, depending on the year, and someone's got to catch it. Well, you're right. Somebody has to catch it. And I haven't seen enough out of James Washington to prove that he's that guy for me. And Deontay Johnson did so many good things last year with some of the worst quarterback play I've seen in the league in quite some time. And that is saying something, because I've watched Osweiler and I've watched some other guys out there. And I'm just, you know, that was like bad on a whole new level of bad last year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it got worse at a certain point, too, which is mind blowing that they didn't address it more in the offseason. But I digress. Deontay Johnson, I think definitely a guy, when you say he's going 38 overall, it's such an incredible value. And I think there's a lot of people still don't, outside of the Pittsburgh area, don't really grasp how good that potential is this year.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson, clearly on my list. There's a couple guys being drafted ahead of him right now that I don't agree with. Deebo Samuel shouldn't be drafted ahead of him.
Agreed.
John Brown, Darius Slayton.
Agreed.
CeeDee Lamb, Emmanuel Sanders. None of those guys should be going over
Deontay Johnson. I want Johnson over all of them.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed.
Before moving on with the show, I want to take some time and mention that our show is proud to be presented to you today by FanDuel Fantasy. Sports are finally back. Basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs, baseball, golf, and more. And football is right around the corner. I am literally so excited for fantasy football, and it's so close to happening. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great. FanDuel is offering users the chance to play free this NFL season. No deposit required. Just sign up, and FanDuel will give you a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win real prizes. Plus, for those folks who want to deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. The FanDuel app has an incredibly sleek design, and it's very easy to use. Navigating the app is very simple and straightforward. I also appreciate their commitment to shielding beginners from more experienced players. This allows newer players to understand daily fantasy better and flesh out their process more before having to face tougher competition. My favorite contests, though, are the satellite contests. They're so much cheaper to enter and give you a better chance of winning than the big tournaments. The best part is if you win, you typically get a ticket to a more expensive, larger tournament, and you'll have done so at a fraction of the cost. FanDuel is offering users the chance to play free this NFL season, no deposit required. Just sign up and FanDuel will give you a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win real prizes. Plus, for those folks who want to deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Go to FanDuel.com/fantasypros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right, Tags, let's go to you here. Third round pick.
All right, well, I'm gonna make this pick because I think it makes sense to explain my thought process here. I'm taking Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones is a guy, obviously, that, you know, we couldn't really trust last year. And I think he's a good player to pair. Let's pretend that you do go with, you know, that wide receiver heavy approach early in the draft. And you get Jonathan Taylor as your RB2. And you're kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that. If you grab Ronald Jones later in your draft, I think you're going to be really happy because you're getting a guy that's starting for this team. And if you're worried about Ronald Jones losing that starting job eventually to maybe a Keyshawn Vaughn, I guess it's possible and we have to bake that into it, right? And that's why he's falling in ADP. But when Ronald Jones is the starter, you're going to put him in your lineup. He's going to be getting 15 touches per game in that Tom Brady-led offense. So if you want to say, okay, until Taylor truly breaks out, which I actually think Taylor breaks out week one against Jacksonville. I don't think there's any chance he doesn't. But even if you didn't feel great about it, if you grab a running back that you think is going to take some time, pairing him with Ronald Jones makes a whole lot of sense because Ronald Jones does have that job to start the year. Not only did Bruce Arians say it, but LeSean McCoy has said it and said that I'm only here to mentor this kid, you know. I know Twitter wants to hate Ronald Jones and that, you know, anytime he drops a pass, they jump on Twitter and say he's a terrible receiver, and then beat reporters come out the next day and say he's having an awesome day. It was one bad day he had, guys. And it's like, are we going to pretend that Julio Jones never dropped a pass? It's going to happen.
Larry Fitzgerald never dropped one.
Well, Larry Fitzgerald's a freak.
No, just kidding.
But no, Ronald Jones is definitely someone that is in line for a breakout, a guy that could be in your lineup every day. And I think that there's true top 12 potential there if he does, in fact, have that workhorse workload.
I have been the Keyshawn Vaughn guy all offseason, but with the recent news that Vaughn is not getting up to speed in camp, and I think if we had a preseason, again, I'm just going to lean back on that as much as I can because it does make a difference, right? Having the preseason and getting the glimpse of these rookies and how they're adjusting. So, but without that, Keyshawn Vaughn's he's not up to speed. And Ronald Jones has this backfield. You're looking at LeSean McCoy, Dari Ogunbowale. Like, no, those guys aren't taking away a significant amount of touches from a very, very high-powered offense with Tom Brady at quarterback, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, Rob Gronkowski. this is an you're talking about scoring opportunities galore for Ronald Jones. So I have been coming around on Jones. Joe, really quick, where do you have Jones ranked? And is this a guy that you would be comfortable? Let's say, again, let's just go back to this kind of exercise. If you wait on running back, are you comfortable with Jones even as your RB2?
I'm not, but I think everything Mike is saying is correct. And I do think that he is the best guy out there. And we saw glimpses of it last year. But the problem is it's almost like this weird catch 22 where if you don't leave him out there to fail, he's never going to succeed. But every time he fails, you pull him out or you start taking touches away. And it's just at a certain point, you have to just ride it out. And it just I don't know when Bruce Arians is going to just ride it out. And that is my concern with Ronald Jones once again this year, because I thought last year was going to be that year and it wasn't, where they just let him ride it out for good, for better, for worse, whatever. And with Brady there, I feel like my one fear is that it's even more exasperated this year because we have a 2-year window to win. Their margin for error is even smaller now. We're not in a rebuild. We're in win now. We have giant expectations. And if he fails a little bit, what happens to him into a rotation? And I hope everything Mike is saying is right. And I think everything he's saying is really good analysis. And I do have cautiously optimistic of Ronald Jones, but I think he's more the kind of guy I'm using in DFS than a guy that I'd be using in my season long lineup.
Tags, before we go to your next pick, just super quick. If we didn't have these concerns about Ronald Jones as a pass blocker, right? I think, and pass catching, like you pointed out the numbers, he's adequate, right? And he showed that he can be serviceable in the NFL, but it's the pass protection that is the thing that it can get him benched, right? We've talked about that. And that's why I liked Keyshawn Vaughn, because I was impressed with him as a pass protector. But if we didn't have that concern, where would Ronald Jones be going in drafts?
I believe that he'd be going around that RB22 range. We'd see him all the way up there with guys like Mark Ingram, David Johnson, David Montgomery, because those are guys locked into a workhorse role. They're going to get 15 touches per week. And again, my thing with Ronald Jones is that there's no competition on this roster right now. I'm serious. There's not. Dari Ogunbowale, we know exactly who he is, right? He's a pass catcher, whatever. He might contribute in some PPR formats during a bye week, whatever. LeSean McCoy sucks. LeSean McCoy legit didn't get it done in Andy Reid's offense. Do you think Bruce Arians is magically going to make him better? Stop.
He's been so good. He's been
so
good for so long.
But he is the most physical guy in that backfield. That's
he's
only
also, he's not that guy. Like, LeSean McCoy is not an elite pass blocker either.
He's not elite, but I think out of that grouping, he might be the most physical or the most savvy enough that if you're going to protect Tom Brady, it's something to understand that if that ends up being just a default look, it would not be shocking to me. That's all. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it like it wouldn't surprise me. You put the other veteran with the other veteran and you just sit back and let the guys just play football.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So, Tags, you said RB22 range is where you think. Okay. All right, Tags, let's go to you here for the start of the fourth round, I think.
All right, I need to take a wide receiver because you guys are just taking all these studs. I'm going to go, mine's still outside the top 30. He was a guy that we thought maybe at the start of last year that might become an every week producer, but really, really tailed off after the injury started to pile up. And Marquise Brown is someone that, I mean, I absolutely loved him in college, and I felt like he could come into the NFL and be, and I use this, I don't use this comparison very often. I know other people use it all the time. DeSean Jackson was so underrated as a football player, probably still is. One of the best, not for your fantasy team all the time, but he's one of the best football players and what he does to a defense. Marquise Brown was a guy that I thought could come into the NFL and do a lot of those things. He plays with, obviously, Lamar Jackson, a guy who got tremendously better as a passer last year, led the league in passing touchdowns. I mean, what more do you want out of him? This is a team that is going to throw the ball a little bit more in 2020. And Marquise Brown coming back from that Lisfranc surgery, I don't think people realize just how impossible that is to come from. I've literally done my own personal research and gone through players that have had foot surgery in the same calendar year, and none of them succeed. You know, a lot of times they do go back for that second surgery. But Marquise Brown, to play the way he did at the start of the year, it was almost like he pushed through while he had that foot healthy, and then everything started to pile up from there. His foot started bothering him. He had hamstring issues. He had a back issue. Whatever. They started piling up, and he started to suffer in the production department. But Marquise Brown is a game changer, and if this team does throw more, that he's the clear-cut number one option on that team in terms of among the wide receivers. So if we get 100 targets to Marquise Brown, that's worth a lot more than 120 targets to some of these other mediocre wide receivers. So I think he's a true breakout star.
He was on my list. I was going to take him next if I had the opportunity for many of the same reasons that Mike just said. Kyle, I don't know about you, but I'm looking at guys who have big time potential who can really hit that home run in a week. And I think that's what you're looking for when you have that solid wide receiver one, when you start looking at the rest of your wide receivers, you start looking and saying, okay, who can hit a home run? Who can, have four or five games that are just absolutely spectacular? And I think he kind of falls in line with that. And I do think I'm optimistic that Lamar Jackson will throw the ball a little bit more this coming season. And it looks like Brown was working his tail off this offseason. Kyle, where do you have Brown?
I have Brown a little bit further down because it all comes down to if he can see over 100 targets, then I think he's going to return value. But I'm a Devin Duvernay guy, and I think that he is a perfect fit in this offense. And so I have him. I'm probably like the highest in the industry on Devin Duvernay because I have him seeing a significant target share in this offense. But if we're talking about a perfect like flex play where you can identify ahead of time these matchups that Jackson's going to have to throw a little bit more and Brown can see, you know, more than six targets a game, that he has the potential to take any pass to the house. So that is an absolute play that I would love to have where I can put him into my flex and get those big blow up performances. Looking last year, and granted, yes, we can talk about the foot injury. Last year, if Brown didn't score, you weren't happy that you started him. Like it was really, really bad. So, but once he scored, and especially that week that he had, I think two or three receiving touchdowns, you know, he was like the wide receiver two that week, right? Like, so I think he absolutely has the potential, but looking at the full season performance, I'm going to let someone else take Marquise Brown. I am up here now. I'm looking at a running back because I have Joe Burrow, Calvin Ridley, and Deontay Johnson. Guys, I'm going to take David Montgomery. And it's looking at Montgomery from the perspective of volume. You're looking at a guy who finishes the RB25 last season, but you're also considering that at the beginning of the year, they were working in Mike Davis. Mike Davis was a factor in that backfield before he got cut. Week 8, I think it was right before like that deadline. So David Montgomery is the guy in this backfield. You have Tariq Cohen as a factor. He's not going to see more than 90 carries on the ground. It's unlikely. But of course he's going to be a factor through the receiving game. David Montgomery and Ryan Nall are your backs that can carry the load. And Ryan Nall hasn't shown that he can do that in the NFL. Not even close. So David Montgomery is in line for 265 plus carries. And at his current ADP, there's no way that he doesn't break out to this player that you can consistently rely on. It's not going to be sexy. I don't think you're going to be super happy, but yet he's going to produce for your lineup. So I want to get your guys' opinion on this. I'm obviously really high on David Montgomery. I have him at RB16 right now. So I think he's going to drastically outperform where he's being drafted. But where are you guys at? I'll go to Tags first, then Joe.
All right. So David Montgomery is someone that I was calling out as a tremendous value early in draft season. And then he started moving up and now he's going back down and he's going around the RB 25, 26 range. I think he's a tremendous value there. And I think that's fine where to take him. The argue against him is that what's his ceiling? Like what's his actual ceiling? Because we don't really know. I think that RB 15 is probably his ceiling. And so he's one of those guys where I've said, if you want to take that late running back approach, that modified zero running back approach, whatever you want to call it, David Montgomery can work out as your RB2 because he offers a safe floor. I would actually, if there was a bet out there that I could make that if David Montgomery's in the field for 16 games, he's going to finish somewhere in between the range of RB15 and RB25. That's basically, I would bet on that range is where he finishes. And that's just difficult to say with a lot of guys, where guys like Mark Ingram, there's a wide range of outcomes with J.K. Dobbins. David Johnson is someone that there's a wide range of outcomes. So when you get to that range, some people are willing to take some chances, whereas David Montgomery is really the safe player. I like him in the fifth, sixth round. I think that's fantastic value for him. But again, I just don't know what his true upside is in this offense, unless, you know, Matt Nagy gets back on as a legitimate play caller and calls an offense and the offensive line takes a step forward, which they've only gone backward the last couple of years. So it's just really difficult for me to see the crazy upside with Montgomery, even though I do think that he is a safe low end RB2.
I think the floor is safer as well than other people do. However, I also think it's kind of amusing that the narrative out there right now is, well, the Bears offense can't be any worse than they were last year. Really?
They can't. They can. No, they can't. They cannot get any worse than they were last year.
I don't know. I think you could always find a new low. I think things can deteriorate pretty quickly. I've seen enough Nick Foles in my life, too. I get it. The guy won a Super Bowl. It was a magical run. Yeah. Sunshine and rainbows. It was a Disney movie. Terrific. I live in the real world.
Terrific.
Well, I live in the real world where I've watched enough Nick Foles games, and I know what he is. He's mediocre at best. And Trubisky has been inconsistent. That's the thing. You've seen moments where he's played up to the competition and moments where he's played down to it. And that is a very frustrating thing when you're looking for a quarterback to develop. So even with that aside, I do think the floor of Montgomery in terms of volume is very safe. And I think that you also have to give guys a little bit more leeway because not every guy first year hits. Melvin Gordon did not hit in his first year, right? Second year, pretty darn good. Ever since, pretty darn good. Okay, regardless if you're a Melvin Gordon fan, you have to respect the body of work. So I think what you're looking at is more of that vein of, hey, look, it was his first year in the league. The Bears offense certainly had their struggles. Montgomery had his struggles at times too, but I also think that they're not going to get away from the volume like Mike is saying, and I think that is important. So as a flex RB, really interesting. As a second RB, you better back it up right away.
The argument, like Tag said, what's the ceiling for David Montgomery? The ceiling is, I mean, guys, he saw 33 carries inside the red zone last year. That was top 15 in the NFL. Same amount as Aaron Jones last year. Now, granted, David Montgomery didn't do a lot with it because what's the threat at quarterback? You're not, the defense in a condensed space is not worried about Mitch Trubisky throwing, you know, a laser to Allen Robinson, right? They're going to just focus in on David Montgomery, stack the box. And so he didn't have these rushing lanes that Aaron Jones did with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, right? So, but 33 carries inside the red zone, only 6 touchdowns. That can easily go up if this offense gets back to adequate. So again, I'm not sitting here I have David Montgomery for 8 rushing touchdowns on the season. I'm not projecting him to be a 10 plus rushing touchdown guy, but for him to have this opportunity in this offense, and if this offense can even get into the red zone more than it was last year, because let's not say that this offense was just a frequent visitor in the red zone last year, right? They weren't. So the opportunities are there for David Montgomery. If you're looking for a running back two and you need opportunity, David Montgomery is the guy to look for.
He's good on inside the 5-yard line. So you mentioned the 33 carries inside the 20 for 6 touchdowns. He actually he had 14 carries inside the 5-yard line. He converted 5 of those for touchdowns, which is actually a pretty good rate.
Yeah. Yep. Joe, you're up here.
I am up, I'm going to go take 2 wide receivers. I'll double up, and I'll let you guys chat about them. First one is a guy that right now the depth chart tells me this guy's going to play. He's going to get a lot of opportunity, I think his quarterback situation is going to get a lot better soon. Yeah, that's right. Preston Williams, Miami Dolphins.
Okay, that's fine.
It's fine. Oh, it's fine.
It's fine.
Oh, everybody, it's okay. It's Mike approves. Okay, now I can continue. Who did you think I was talking about?
I'm not going to tell you.
Jerk, he's not gonna tell me. All right, Preston Williams is that guy, because once again, going at wide receiver 49, he is not a rookie. He is a guy that did show you a little bit last year. I know Fantasy Pros got projections on him somewhere around 800 plus yards and 5 touchdowns and 60 catches, and you know what, that's a pretty good season out of a guy I'm gonna take there. I actually think there's upside for more, and I think Tua is going to play a lot more than other people do. I have Tua looking to, you know, compete himself into a role there earlier than later. That's just the kind of guy he is, and he's somehow going to find a way to do it because he's Tua, and that's what he does. But Preston Williams, I think at wide receiver, basically 50, I don't know. I mean, he's got a leg up on some of the other rookies out there who haven't played at all yet, so he's more familiar with the system and what's going on there, and I think he showed you enough last year to be at least mildly excited about some upside there. And look at Devontae Parker last year. At a certain point last year too, Williams was almost as good, if not better, than Parker before the injury. And then the other guy is CeeDee Lamb. And this one is based on talent. It's based on offense. It's also based on upside to a certain extent, because I'm looking at Lamb and I say to myself, all right, the floor is what Randall Cobb did last year, because he's far more athletic at this point in his life than Randall Cobb is. And working in the slot, I think that's going to be a very productive area for this Cowboys offense. Then if there is an injury to Amari Cooper, if there is an injury to Michael Gallup for any stretch of time, this guy all of a sudden goes into wide receiver 2 territory for that span, in my opinion. He's that kind of a talent. So I'm going to put talent first here. So I'm going to go with Williams for opportunity and Lamb with talent, and I'm going to stir him up and see what happens.
I love the approach with Lamb. And it's built in this. I was talking about this. All these podcasts are running together at this point, so I have no idea who I was talking
to. What's today?
Yeah, what is today? But I was saying, like, with CeeDee Lamb, he's one of these guys that from a projection standpoint, he's not going to come in super great, because you have Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup ahead of him as far as a target share. And then, of course, Zeke involved out of the backfield, and Blake Jarwin is a guy who could break out this year. But then you're looking at CeeDee Lamb, and there is, like, ranking him where his projections have him is not smart. Because the built-in upside that something happens to Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, oh my word, you know, he could easily shoot up into top 24, maybe even top 20, because this offense is going to be very, very high-powered. And looking at Cedric Wilson, is it the next guy in line? You know, like, who's that? You know, so it's like CeeDee Lamb is going to be this guy that can absolutely drastically outperform where he's being drafted this year if everything goes his way. I like the call there, Joe. I am going to go with a running back here, my second running back. I'm going to take Antonio Gibson. Washington football team, looking at Antonio Gibson, and I loved his tape at Memphis. Granted, limited college touches, only 77 total touches in college, but 6 foot, 229 pounds, 4.39 40 yard dash at the combine. Like, this guy can move, and he has excellent hands. He was used as a wide receiver and running back combo at Memphis. And so looking at his opportunity in this offense, he's going to be moved all around the formation. You could potentially move him out into the slot. I think Steven Sims is going to be utilized too. But then you're also looking like JD McKissick is going to see some work. But the moment that you put McKissick and Gibson on the field at the same time, Gibson's going to just blow McKissick out of the water from what he can do after the catch. So if you're looking for a guy who could break out this year that not many people know about, right? The casual fantasy football player doesn't know the name Antonio Gibson. Because again, looking at the running back, the rookie running backs you're talking about, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, Cam Akers, all those guys are like the ones that can float up towards the top. Antonio Gibson's going to stay down. His ADP is going to stay down in the 50s by, you know, as people are drafting. So Gibson this year, I absolutely love. I'm taking him as my second running back here in this breakout roster.
Does the Bryce Love stuff bother you at all? Because there's been a lot of buzz about him at camp. I'm just asking because I mean, every day it's like a new Bryce Love clip that somebody wants to talk about.
I really don't buy into that personally. It's been a long time since we've seen Bryce Love on the football field. And I just Gibson is immensely more talented, in my opinion, than Bryce Love. So I'm not worried about it.
If I knew that Bryce Love was healthy, I would absolutely be concerned because I think Bryce Love is someone that's shown that he could handle a giant workload, whereas Antonio Gibson's kind of like a Mecole Hardman and is a guy that, you know, just hasn't touched the ball a whole lot. And it's not to say he can't do it. We just haven't seen it. So there's obviously risk around that. He was drafted as a wide receiver, running back, whatever the hell. You know, he's some sort of hybrid. And I don't mind him where he's going because as soon as Darius Geis was cut from the team, Antonio Gibson, some people were talking about, I'm taking him in the seventh round. I'm like, are you guys on crack? But the highest I'm seeing him right now in ADP among the big sites is 45 at running back. And that's fine because, again, you're taking him as a bench player. You're hoping there's some upside there. I'm okay with that. If you were to draft him as a starter, I have a giant issue with that. I think there is something to be watched with this Bryce Love thing, but I still think Adrian Peterson crushes any value that these other running backs are going to have because Peterson has not come back to sit on the bench, guys. He's not going to do it. And he's been actually really good. I'm really just not into Washington running backs at all this year.
In a 14-team league, Mike, would you stash Bryce Love?
In a 14-team league, I'll take one as my RB4.
Okay, because I think that's like when you start getting into the deeper pools of play where, you know, people do play in the bigger leagues. I wonder, you know, Gibson all of a sudden becomes much more intriguing potentially. And like the guys on the situations where we don't know yet. And I think you have to keep in mind, folks out there listening, like, you know, you do have to speculate and you might have to throw a couple darts and hopefully one of them hits. If two of them hit, amazing. But if one of them hits, you know, sometimes you got to cast a wide net with some of these guys.
Yeah, for sure. No, I get it.
Let's go lightning round here. Let's start to move through some of these. We got you have three picks left, obviously. So let's go get yours back to back and then let's move through some of these last picks.
I mean, here. I'm going with Jalen Reagor. He was someone that I contemplated way back in the first round, but I was trying to go positional value. Jalen Reagor is like a stud. And he this is the one I thought Joe was talking about when he started talking, saying that he could be the number one on the depth chart. I think he absolutely is the number one on the depth chart in terms of targets among the wide receivers.
Oh, so you were mad that I was going to take your guy, not mad that you thought I was dumb. Okay,
No. Preston Williams is fine. It's just he's not Jalen Reagor at all.
That's fair.
But Jalen Reagor is one of my favorites. I've talked about him quite a bit, so I don't need to go into it a whole lot on him. And then my other one, I just want to give a quick shout out. I'm not picking Damian Harris, but nobody's able to draft him because we all have our two running backs already. Damian Harris should absolutely be on this list as a potential guy.
Yeah, let me tell you, man, I've got him everywhere this year. Benny Snell and Damian Harris are basically every bench of mine looks like that.
Yeah, Damian Harris, he could be the starting running back for the Patriots in week one, but I'm going to go back to wide receiver. And this one's so tough. I'm going to go with Anthony Miller just because I want to tick Yates off.
Homer.
Dang it.
Well, Miller, if you were to go and look at the games last year with Taylor Gabriel, without Taylor Gabriel, there's a massive difference between the two. Without Gabriel, there were seven games. In those seven games, he had 45 targets, 29 receptions, 370 yards, and two touchdowns. So again, just remember that 370 yards and two touchdowns. In the nine games, two more games with Gabriel, he had 286 yards, no touchdowns. And Anthony Miller has... Apparently, he's healthy. He played through a torn labrum at the beginning of his rookie season. Last year, he played with a shoulder injury. They said he didn't dedicate himself the way that they thought he would this offseason. They say he's like a different player. He showed up and he's like determined. And knowing that he needs to be a big part of this offense, knowing that even if Nick Foles were to take over as a starter, that guy has a tendency to go over the middle of the field. Anthony Miller is a superstar. It's just a matter of can we see that? Can he get the targets to get there? Because with targets, he is absolutely electric. So getting Anthony Miller as my wide receiver three, I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah, seven touchdowns his rookie season. He can absolutely produce. All right, I am going to go with Michael Pittman Jr. here. I was looking and debating Anthony Miller, so I like the call their tags, but I like Michael Pittman Jr. more. Talking about a guy all the way down in the 60s in ADP right now at the position, I think he can finish in the 30s. This is a guy who I absolutely loved coming out of college, and I think he fits perfectly to what Phillip Rivers has locked onto. You're looking at Phillip Rivers over his career. Now, granted, we can talk about the wide receiver course that he's had of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and then Travis Benjamin, you know, as that kind of field stretcher. That Travis Benjamin role is what T.Y. Hilton is going to be occupying. You have Paris Campbell out of the slot, and then you have Michael Pittman Jr. occupying this Mike Williams role, this guy who's going to be utilized deep downfield. So Travis Benjamin was never highly targeted from Phillip Rivers. So granted, that could be the fact that it's Travis Benjamin and T.Y. Hilton now at this. But also, T.Y. Hilton comes with his own injury risk. So if you're talking about an opportunity in an offense and kind of what Joe was talking about with CeeDee Lamb, like Michael Pittman Jr. in this offense can absolutely crush value this year. So if you're looking for this guy who could be the Terry McLaurin, right, this rookie wide receiver to just absolutely come out of nowhere, I think it's Michael Pittman Jr. this year.
Yeah, I think he's definitely on that. All right, I guess I'm up here. And because you gave me the first pick, I will not take your tight end, Kyle, because I know exactly out of respect for you for letting me do that.
Everyone knows my... Yeah.
Everyone knows, but I'm in a position right now to do it to you, and I'm not going to stick it to you. I just want you to know I'm not going to do that. So there you go.
Way to work in cohorts together.
It's already 2-1 against you. See what happened here? All right, so... I will take my quarterback here, and it's funny, Burrow was mine too, but that's kind of, you know, where I think most of us look, because it's tough to say breakout quarterback. What I will say is, I think there's a better Baker Mayfield season available to us. And I think that if they do kind of scale things back a little bit and build up the confidence, you know, Baker Mayfield's biggest downfall is the mistakes. It's the interceptions. And if you are going to pad him a little bit with Kareem Hunt catching ball and adding some, you know, passing yards because of his yards after the catch, if you're going to support him with Nick Chubb running the football and able to run more play action that way, with those two running backs used properly, I think you're setting Baker Mayfield up for a better chance to be successful and make less mistakes, because he is going to have more clear looks downfield. He's going to be in a better situation there. And I think Austin Hooper is an improvement over what they had at tight end, even though everyone's off of Austin Hooper. I just think that, you know, that's actually an important little piece there that they added this offseason. How much they utilize him, we'll find out, but I do think there's a better season. So I'm going to say Baker Mayfield is the breakout. Still don't love him, but I think he can get into that low-end QB1 conversation if he can limit the mistakes, because when you stop throwing picks, all of a sudden you continue down the field and then good things happen and then your touchdown upside goes up. The more it's such an easy variable, but it's one that we overlook too much. And I think that is the big thing, if you can get away from that. And for tight end, I'm going to take Blake Jarwin. Once again, it's, you know, I kind of talked about this last time on the show. Ton of targets went to the tight end position. Dak has always looked for the tight end. That's not going to change. This is his opportunity to shine here. And I think Dallas is going to just be another big time offensive year for them, without a doubt. So those are my last two guys.
Well, Blake Jarwin was on my list. So if you took Jonnu Smith, then I was going to take Blake
Jarwin. No, I wasn't going to do that to you.
I know. I will take Jonnu Smith. If you have been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that I love Jonnu Smith this year. So Jonnu Smith, talking about one of the most athletic tight ends in the NFL, he fits this offense perfectly from a rack perspective. Get the ball out of Ryan Tannehill's hands quickly and just let him create. They give him opportunities in the running game too, which is ridiculous. So I love Jonnu Smith this year. I think he's absolutely going to break out in a huge way. And our bold predictions episode tags, I think about a month ago, again, all these are running together, but I talked about Jonnu Smith finishing, again, it was a bold prediction.
That was last Jonnu Smith, week.
Oh, thanks. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Because I was on there.
Jonnu Smith finishing as a top three tight end. We did two of them. Anyway, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Jonnu Smith finishing as a top three tight end was my like hot take prediction for the season. And I think he can absolutely do it, just like we've seen George Kittle do with rack ability. So, all right, Tags, let's go to you. Your final pick here. You're forced into a quarterback. Where are you going?
I am. And I'm actually happy that he's still here, because he's a guy that I'm getting a lot of two QB formats. It's Gardner Minshew, a guy that, you know, he rushed for 344 yards last year and didn't score a single touchdown. Quarterbacks on average score a touchdown about, I think it's every like 92 yards or so on average. And Gardner Minshew is clearly an above average rusher. So, you know, you're going to see three, maybe four rushing touchdowns this year, combined with the fact that DJ Chark taking another step in his career. They're moving him around the formation.
He's impressive.
In Jay Gruden's offense, you know. Jay Gruden has turned Kirk Cousins into a top six quarterback on multiple occasions. So I think that it's very it's highly in the realm of possibilities that Gardner Minshew's a top 12 fantasy quarterback this year, and that you're relying on him more than maybe even someone like, dare I say, bold hot take here, more than someone like Tom Brady or even Josh Allen.
I don't know if I can go with Josh Allen.
I can't get to, but Brady, I can get to that. I see that world.
It's a hot take. I'm not ranking him above those guys.
It was hot, and then you burned yourself. You flew too close to the sun. That's what happened.
Yeah. All right, guys. Gardner Minshew was on my list too, so I like that call. All right, I'm going to run through the rosters here. Joe, you had Baker Mayfield as your quarterback, and then your two running backs were Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Cam Akers, DK Metcalf, Preston Williams, and CeeDee Lamb for your wide receivers, and then Blake Jarwin. I had Joe Burrow as my quarterback, David Montgomery and Antonio Gibson as my running backs, Calvin Ridley, Deontay Johnson, and Michael Pittman Jr. for wide receivers, and then Jonnu Smith at tight end, shocker. Tags, you had Gardner Minshew at quarterback, Jonathan Taylor, Ronald Jones, again, Tags picking Ronald Jones, shocker there, Marquise Brown, Jalen Reagor, and Anthony Miller at wide receiver, and then Hayden Hurst at tight end. So guys, that's going to do it for today's show. Make sure to head over to youtube.com/fantasypros. And let us know which one of us you think won this draft in the comments section. We'd love to see those. That should be fun.
And which one didn't cheat?
And nope, there's just no which cheating. One won the draft. No, there's no
cheating at all.
Stop talking.
Goodness. I'm a guest.
I'm a guest.
You're like a live-in guest. You're like a relative that comes to visit and then stays for like a month.
Yeah, I'm like Brad Pitt in True Romance, where he's just the guy like on the couch. That's the only time you'll ever get me and Brad Pitt references together, probably, by the way. But like he's just there getting stoned on the couch in True Romance. That's me.
Oh my God.
What's up, pros?
Huge thank you to Joe for coming on, man. It's always a blast.
Likewise, guys, it was always fun. And yes, you could tell everybody in the comments on YouTube of why I won. So thank you, guys.
Don't forget that you can find and follow all of us on Twitter at KyleYNFL, at MikeTagliereNFL, and at JoePisaPS17. Thank you again to FanDuel for sponsoring today's podcast. FanDuel is offering users the chance to play free this NFL season, no deposit required. Just sign up and FanDuel will give you a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win real prizes. Plus, for those folks who want to deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Just go to FanDuel.com/fantasypros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. And a huge thank you to Omaha Steaks for sponsoring today's podcast. Visit OmahaSteaks.com and type Fantasy Pros in the search bar to shop Summer Grill Packs today. And don't forget, when you order the Grand Summer Grill Out Package this week, you'll also get 4 Jumbo Franks and 4 Omaha Steaks burgers free to complete your steakhouse experience. That's all we got for today, fellas. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. From Mike Tagliere and Joe Pisapia, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.